Thank you very much for that national anthem and the place where we sing our anthems from Sunday to Sunday. I want to talk about the in-between times this morning. Zsa Zsa Gabor was being asked by a reporter, you know, I think she was between the eighth and ninth husband, as a Hungarian, very beautiful woman, and the reporter asked her, well, what about your future, Zsa Zsa? And she said, well, darling, at the moment, I'm between husbands. Now, when you subtract the humor from that, there's an incredible amount of truth that we live in between things. There's a saying that we use quite often, and still today you hear it every now and then when I ask, well, how are things going for you? Sometime a person will say, well, I'm between a rock and a hard place. And I have been there between a rock and a hard place, haven't you? And it's the in-between times, ladies and gentlemen, that can be times of joy and refreshment and resetting the clock in our lives spiritually. But the in-between times can be very dangerous times when we can get lost. I think of the children of Israel. On the one hand, they came out of Egypt. And on the other hand, there's the Promised Land. And where are they? They're in between Egypt and the Promised Land. They spent 40 years in the wilderness in an in-between time, wandering around. And the fact is, ladies and gentlemen, they could have been lost in the wilderness. We would never heard of the Hebrew people. God wouldn't have given up. He devised another way. But the in-between times sometimes are really tough to negotiate. A lot of pain, a lot of confusion, not sure about things. So the in-between times are, we need to learn how to do that a little better. Sometimes we're caught between jobs. We get laid off or fired, and here we are. We're looking for another job, but the in-between times, we're in that time. And a lot of men, a lot of women, they really sometimes go down the tubes in that in-between time. It's a devastating thing to lose your job. And sometimes, even between pastors can be a tough time. Between life and death in a hospice, that's a tough time. And how you spend that time, what you do in that time, is very important. Right now, our good friend Carl Nowen, in our prayers, he was in the hospital for 2 or 3 days this week. He's home now, and he's under hospice care, but that's between life and death in hospice care. It can be treacherous times between what is and what will be. We live in a kind of a broad, universal sense of the in-between times, between the creation of the world and that time when God's going to wind it all up. That's in-between time. Between the coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ, the in-between time of the grace period. The in-between times are extremely, extremely important because we find ourselves in them many, many times. Well, how do we do it then? How do we manage those times? Well, in the hymn that we sing this morning, O God, our help in ages past, when we look back over the history of this nation, you cannot help but see how God was right there at Valley Forge and in the heart and life of George Washington. You can't look back and read our history with any kind of honesty at all without understanding that God has been with this nation. And if we understand that God has been with us, then that becomes a basis for saying, oh God, as you've been with us in the past, you can be with us in our tomorrows, in our futures. And I can manage this in-between time just by knowing that, let alone your living reality in my heart as I'm in these in-between experiences. And Memorial Sunday invites us to look back at our past and see what God has done there. Now, I'm glad that the scripture lesson this morning was read in the proper book, in the proper chapter. I'd be talking about a personal in-between time, what to do between that and getting on with my message. But here is Jeremiah, and it certainly is an in-between time for the nation of Israel. The golden past is over. The golden time of David is gone. The great prophets of Samuel and Elijah and Elisha, that's gone. And now the nation of Israel is standing between bondage and freedom. They're living between Egypt in the south and Babylon in the north. And they're in a very corrupt time in their history. And Jeremiah, he understands that if they continue in this in-between time on their path, that nothing but destruction is out there in front of them. And God sends him down. He says, you say to the people, go down to the crossroads and you stand there. The crossroads, that's in-between time. And you look at your options and you think about the old paths. The old paths of Moses, the old truths of the commandments, the old experiences of God being with them in the old paths. And you tell them to stand at the crossroads and ask, then what is the good way? And Jeremiah did just exactly that. But you know what they said to that prophet? He's nothing but a windbag. 40 years later, they were carried away into slavery. And you see, that's the danger of an in-between time. Had they repented and come back to God, they would not have gone into about 200 years of slavery again. The in-between times are extremely important. And ladies and gentlemen, the Israel people had even gone so far that they didn't even know how to blush anymore. And there's a book written by Bill Bennett some time ago, about 4 or 5 years ago, that he entitled The Loss of Outrage. Can it be that we get so far gone as a nation that we're not offended by anything anymore? And that's what had happened to Israel. And it's true for us in this great country. There are some things that we need to do in this in-between time, or we're going to lose all the beauty and God's providential care if we don't do this in-between time the right way. Abraham Lincoln, in my judgment, is probably America's greatest president. And the country was in an in-between time. It was either going to be slavery or freedom. Our country was absolutely at risk in that in-between time. And where did he go to say, well, what's the foundation? And where am I going to stand? Because he was offended by the slavery. But how will I talk to people? What will I say? What reference point will I use? You know what, ladies and gentlemen, you study his speeches. And in that great debate, he went all the way back to the Declaration of Independence, an old path, an old truth, that every man is created equal. And God has given us certain inalienable rights, life and liberty and the pursuit of heaven. Those are old paths. Those are eternal, never-changing truths that's put in the heart and the soul of people. And so Abraham Lincoln, that's where he took his stand. And that's how he found strength, by remembering what God had done in the founders and say, oh God, just as you can cause this nation to come in existence with them, I know that you're going to lead us through this struggle into the future. And that's how he found power and strength in that in-between time to lead this great nation and people to freedom. I draw great strength from the things that God has done in my life. And I have stood at the crossroads. And you have been there. And I have been between a rock and a hard place. And I know what that is. I know what to fail in the in-between. I know what that's about. But when I look back on my life, I can tell you, I cannot look back in honesty and see what God has done in my life without coming to believe that that same God, as I look at my future, will be with me in the future. That in the in-between times, he has been with me. He will be with me. And I can negotiate by remembering that. And it brings strength and power into my life. And I bet it's true for you. You can look back at the times when you stood at a crossroad and somehow God found a way of finding you and leading you to your next stage in your life. I had the good fortune of having a mother who was a woman of faith that negotiated me through my childhood and my youth. And through those early stages of my life. And I think about that mother today and look back, and I'm profoundly grateful. And you've heard me say that many times. She's the cornerstone of my soul. And I remember that wasn't an accident. Some neighbor invited her to church. She went and gave her life to God. And then she could pass on that heritage to me. I thank God for a memory like that. And I thank God for a wife. When I think about the crossroads of my life, and now we've stood there together at those crossroads and made decisions together about which way to go after thinking about God being in our past. You know, my wife and I on vacation, we went to Walmart's, and over in Lewisburg, West Virginia. And here we were in there, and she was walking down an aisle, and I was somewhere else. And lo and behold, man stops her and says, he said, "You know, lady, you are one good-looking woman." And you know, he's right. But I came back and I said to her, and she told me about this. And I said, "Well, where is he? You call a manager and call the law. That's what you call sexual harassment." She said to me, "Hush your mouth, Grant." But I thank God for a wife like that, that we can look at the great challenges of life and somehow, by the grace of God, find a way to make choices and go on. I remember when I was, I didn't leave West Virginia voluntarily. Kroger's transferred me out. And I was helping a minister down in southern Ohio, Chet Limley, 6'9". My children called him the giant, and he was in many ways. And here I am cutting meat in a Kroger store, my wife and family. And I was working, he had three churches. By the way, he was a certified lay pastor and a great one. And I worked with him, and we loved him. We spent time in the parsonage with them. And one day he said to me, "Grant, you're in the wrong place. You should go into the ministry." And he was right. It was an in-between time in my life. And you know, I have never forgotten Chet Lemmy. It's amazing. Is it not amazing that sometimes just one sentence can make you go into a U-turn and change the whole direction of your life? That's how God reaches us in the in-between times. And what he told me, I agreed with, and that didn't come into fruition until about 10 years later. And I remember all the churches that I've pastored. And ladies and gentlemen, how God, I'm not bragging this morning, these are just, if you'll take them as historical facts, how God has blessed and how he's been there in the ups and downs and the ins and outs of the ministry. I think of the way the first church that I pastored after being there for 4 years, how that they couldn't get all the people in the last Sunday. That's not a challenge to us here, by the way, and nor a hint of that. But they stood on the outside, and everyone was weeping and crying. We couldn't even do the service. That's why my son's going to be here to do the next one. But to know that your love like that becomes a place to know that, "God, you've been with me like that." That's the love of God finding expression. And we look back at those kind of things, we think, "Oh God, thank you for being there at those times in my life." And here we finished university and had to go to seminary. And I had made friends with Dr. Matt McMahon, a district superintendent, and asked him if we could go into the Methodist ministry. And I remember the first meeting we went to, my wife, and I threw this in because of bonnets on Sunday. We went to meet that committee, and there was no undercover cop there, Jerry, by the way. And my wife had one of those beautiful hats. And they grilled us and said, "You know, why? You know, you've got four kids. How can you sure you want to do this?" And finally, John McMahon looked up at that hat, and he said to my wife, he said, "You know something, Mrs. Montgomery? You'll never be able to buy another hat like that. Not in the ministry. You sure you want to do this?" And so when it came time to decide, well, where do you want to go to seminary, John McMahon graduated from Boston University School of Theology, and he said, "Don't go to Dayton, Grant, and don't go to Asbury, and don't go to Methesco in Ohio. You want to go to Boston University." And we never had a clue that we were going to go to the East Coast. but because John McMahon, that we love, suggested that that's where you ought to go, get out of Ohio for a while, and so you can spread your learning. And they happened to be the ones who pioneered the pastoral counseling. And so we went all the way from Ohio out to Boston, Massachusetts, because John McMahon said to me, you need to go to Boston University. And it was the right choice and the right decision when I was between university and seminary. That's how God reaches us. Just as he's been with us in the past, he will be with us in the future. And one thing I have learned, like the footprints in the sand story, that even when I cannot recognize in the in-between times that God is there, after 82 years, 50 years in the ministry, I look back and I understand now that when there's only one set of footprints, that's when God was carrying me. And I count on that when I'm in the in-between times. Now, here I am, ladies and gentlemen. I'm in an in-between time. I'm leaving the ministry. I mean, I'm not going to cease to be a pastor or a minister. You can't do that. It's too imprinted on your soul. But I'm going to leave by, I'm not in a rock and a hard place. I'm going to leave by a beautiful group of people. But I don't, Ann and I, we don't know what we're going to do in retirement. We really don't. And I'm in an in-between time. But I can tell you, as I look back and some of the things we talked about, I know that God's going to be with us in this in-between time, and you know, open up what doors and the direction we should go in. I know that, and I trust God with that. And here you are. You are in an in-between time, are you not? Yes. When a pastor's leaving and a new pastor's coming, of course, sometimes they're glad to see a pastor go. My sense is that's not the case here. I hope that's not the case. But when you're leaving, one pastor's leaving, and you're in this in-between time, my God, who are they going to send here? There's confusion, there's anxiety, there's uncertainty. And, you know, there's a lot of prayers and hopes and dreams involved in the life of this church. And it's an in-between time. And what I want you to remember is this. You weren't here, but Sandy Hogeback knows what I'm talking about. Remember the time when this church was located in a trailer out on the parking lot, and only a handful of people were there, and they met every Sunday there. That was an in-between time between success and failure. That's part of our history, this church's history. And remember how it was when I first came here that we didn't have enough money hardly to pay the utility bills? We had an old muddy parking lot out there. First thing we did, decided, well, we're going to do something about that parking lot, and we did. And we did it again, and we expanded it twice. And I want you to remember the things God has done in the past in this church. And remember the time when we didn't even have a choir, for heaven's sake, let alone a choir director. And we didn't have the money to hire a pianist, and now we have one of the best in this part of the world. And I can think back of all of those things that God has been with this church family. And ladies and gentlemen, because he's been with you, he's going to be with you in your tomorrows. That's how it works in the in-between times. God is going to be with you, and he's counting on you. Bud wrote in the church letter, he said, Grant, the remodeling of the church, the people involved, the trustees and so forth, they have made you proud. And you know something? He's exactly right. You have made me proud. But one other thing that I'm even more proud of, I am proud of a Phil Brown that knows Christ in a deeper way. And I know because of that, whatever in the in-betweens he has, he now knows that God's with him and he's going to be with him in his tomorrows. And I'm glad, ladies and gentlemen, for the sense of the presence of God among us in this church here. That we come here and we sense it's not just Grant Montgomery or the music or anything like that. There's this thing that happens that we have a hard time explaining. And I think it's the presence of God's love among us. And that's the thing that I take the greatest pride in. Knowing that God has touched the life of this church. And I'll go to my grave that way. And by the way, I'm not concerned about the in-between time between heaven, between earth and heaven. I know where I'm going, and therefore, I take great strength right now in knowing that. Amen and amen. Heavenly Father, on this holiday weekend, we pause to remember and to be grateful and draw strength from the sacred memories that we have. In the name of your Son, amen and amen.